Tuesday morning to you, 5:44.
Regina, this song is true. But for some other parts of the province this morning, they are waking up a little smoky, a little harder to see. Some air quality warnings are up for smoke on the west side of the province, coming across to some portions of central Saskatchewan, like Saskatoon. To a lesser extent, special air quality statements are up just to the west of Regina. That does include Moose Jaw at this hour. Our newsroom, as you just heard in the 5:30 news with Lisa Schick, has already talked to Environment Canada's Jason Knight this morning.
We've got lots of dense smoke just sitting in place. It's been light northerly winds for the last day or so from those fires up in the LaRange area. And unfortunately now, with there's almost no airflow in the southwest corner, so the dense smoke is mostly just sitting there today. Saskatoon, some of the worst air quality in the province there, with very, very poor air quality, AQHI 10+ currently, and likely to continue for at least a few more hours. And we don't expect that smoke to move too much today, hopefully expecting a little bit of improvement throughout the day. But with everything fairly stagnant flow for at least another day, we'll be seeing those air quality warnings continue for a while yet in the province.
As of right now, Regina does not have any alert or warning or statement up. We asked Knight about the Queen City.
It's actually improved through the night. The last plume of smoke that was lingering south of the Trans-Canada is actually pushing into the U.S. now. So it's moving more and more toward the western sections of the province and out of the Regina area.
That said, there is still a possibility we see a little bit of smoke in the Regina area this morning, but certainly nothing like other parts of the province, at least for today. Hey, we're hearing from Mounties on some of the charges at Country Thunder at Craven. It would have been a smoky weekend out there for a lot of people. It included 4 impaired driving charges, 40 roadside driving suspensions, 2 assault charges, and as well, 1 mischief charge related to property damage. Campers are gone. They just packed up and left.
When do you know that the Country Thunder party is officially over?
You know, when you start feeling good again. So about Wednesday morning.
Kiddie pools dumped, beer pong tables collapsed. Seagulls had quite a buffet of trash before it was picked up. Gotta believe Sarkan will be busier these next couple days with all these empties being dropped off. Hey, we're giving away passes to the Gateway Music Festival in Benngough next weekend. That would be the 25th to the 27th on the CJME Morning Show Facebook page. We're asking, what's been the best part of your summer so far? Couple responses. Clayton says, took the family to the Calgary Stampede for our first time. Carissa says, the heat is back. Kathy says, going for a motorcycle ride. Dan says, golf. You can comment on the CJME Morning Show Facebook page for your chance to win. Passes again to the Gateway Music Festival in Benngough next weekend, July 25th to the 27th. By 51, smoky skies, stinging eyes, and a lack of communication. No surprise for some fans, at least waiting on a Rider game that was never played on Friday night. Hey, we just got a new explanation from CFL Commissioner Stuart Johnston. He was just on the green zone.
We were venturing into unknown territory. Unfortunately, we've had to put policies in place because wildfire and wildfire smoke has become a little more commonplace than I think any of us would like. We knew as of Thursday there could be an issue. Friday, we monitored all day. Every stadium is equipped with real-time air quality sensors. We developed a policy in place that says players can't play if it's at an 8 or above, and it was hovering above that.
Was there no policy about a rescheduling? Like, there's a lot of policies about if there's a delay during a game, it can only go 3 hours, it can only do this. Is it play it by ear if there's no kickoff, Stu?
We did not have a policy in place if the game never started. So that is something we are going to look at. You know, we developed this policy that we do have in conjunction with the CFLPA. And from the player's standpoint, the clubs, their coaching staff, the Calgary, the visiting team, the broadcaster, the league, the fans, security, we want to get that game played. It is an incredible lift to postpone a game and take all of the logistics and move it to another day, even if it is 18 hours later. And so all of us, I think everyone involved, wanted to get that game played. And so we were giving as much time as we could. And then finally, just had to say, this isn't going to change. And we've got to go to plan B.
Stuart Johnston, the commissioner of the Canadian Football League here on the Green Zone. There was about a 2-hour gap, Stu, where there was an announcement or closer to that 7:45-ish or 7:30, about a half an hour, and then nothing until 9:30, 9:45, until that 10:45 deadline. Why was that gap? Why not any communication for those 2 hours?
We've got to make sure we're communicating often and as transparently as possible. Now, does that mean we update every 10 minutes with no change? No, I don't think that makes sense. But I would, and did, we talked about erring on the side of over-communicating. Now, I'm going to say that we've lots of learning. I'm very proud of all the stakeholders, the league, the clubs, the players, the fans. I mean, really everyone did their best to try and manage this, and the broadcaster. But one thing I think we as a league could do better is make sure we are communicating at the right cadence. But even more importantly, I think, is specifics and detail within those communications. I think we were talking too much in generalities. I think we should have said, hey, as a reminder, the air quality index has to be at 7 or below. It's currently at 10. It would be would have been much more informative for the fans had we delivered that type of message, so they knew exactly what we were looking at. I think that was definitely a learning experience for us.
What would you say to the fans? There were those who were there at about 6:30 and were there right until 10:45 when they called it.
The first thing I want to say is thank you. Thank you for your passion for the league. Thank you for your patience during a very difficult time. Thank you for being safe and riding that out with us as we handled an unprecedented situation.
That was CFL Commissioner Stuart Johnston talking to the Green Zone's Jamie Nye yesterday. A bit of an explanation from the league's perspective as to what happened on Friday night, why the game was delayed, why there was still a chance late into the night that it could have still been played that night, and then why they ultimately decided to delay the game, postpone it until Saturday afternoon. Best, 6:13 on your Tuesday morning. Kevin Martell and Greg Morgan again this week. Alberta is the best in something that they don't want to be the best in. They just surpassed the U.S. in confirmed measles cases. That's right. One province has more than an entire country when it comes to measles cases. Another 30 cases just popped up over the weekend for our neighbors to the west, bringing the total to more than 1,300 cases since March. Nobody has died in connection. Looking at the states, we've seen a number of deaths because of measles cases, however. Other top stories that we are following this morning in the news for you: wildfire situation. 49 wildfires right now this morning in the province are currently active. 11 are not contained. There are roughly 1,700 evacuees in the province. 8 communities are still under an evacuation order. Now, that pre-evacuation alert is up for Prince Albert National Park, leaving communities like Waskasu to prepare for the worst. Waskasu Community Council Chair Jim Kirby says they are trying to help people be ready if they do, in fact, need to leave.
Just in case you had to move quickly, think about how you can fire smart your own yards and your own cottage and cabin.
He says at this point, most people have stayed put. Another wildfire continues to threaten the community of Beauval, but no homes are lost at this time, we're learning. That is according to Davidson Fire Chief Corey Dean, whose team was one of several volunteer crews helping fight the flames and protect buildings. Dean says he dealt with fast-moving wildfires in southern parts of the province before, but this was different.
That was our first real taste of what a wildfire in the forest is. It's a lot larger, a lot more intense.
He says it's rewarding to know people's homes were saved. Meantime, the mayor of Beauval says he's thankful for all the firefighters from across this province and country helping. Just a couple vehicles, a garage, and a concession stand were lost in the blaze. While the blaze was able to be contained, Rick LaLiberty suggests crews there aren't done fighting it yet.
This beast of a fire, when it wakes up with this wind, we never know where it's going to flare up.
He says a rain cloud recently came and helped smother the fire. So some good news on that front this morning. The wildfire smoke, though, yeah, it is creating some new issues, renewed issues, I guess we can call it, throughout a good chunk of the province this morning, mainly concentrated on kind of the western half of the province. So this morning as we wake up, air quality warnings are in place for areas west of Regina. We're talking along the Alberta border up to, well, some central parts of the province, Saskatoon. Looks like Prince Albert is included in that as well, all under air quality warnings, which means the air, yeah, has deteriorated. There are special air quality statements up, so still smoky, but maybe not quite as smoky, and those are up for areas west of Regina, including Moose Jaw. But as for the city itself right now, yeah, no warning, no alert of any kind, no special weather statement. We talked to Environment Canada this morning, and yeah, there is smoke possible, but as we go through the morning, it's looking like it will kind of drift more to the U.S., is what meteorologist Jason Knight tells us this morning. So we'll keep an eye on that to see if it will once again perhaps impact your day. Ag in Motion gets going this week. Today in Langham, just northwest of Saskatoon along Highway 16, it is the largest outdoor farm expo in Western Canada, featuring the latest advancements in agriculture technology and equipment. Show director Rob O'Connor says it is an important year for this event.
I think the tariffs are kind of the straw that broken the camel's back.
He says delegates and groups from across the globe are expected to be there.
We're seeing a huge increase of international visitors come to our show. And what that is, those are buyers, those are international delegations wanting to come create new relationships, trying to find new trading partners.
Yeah, it'll be a little bit smoky for the event as it kicks off today. It runs until Thursday, opening daily from 8:30 until 4:30 each day. Hey, we're giving away passes to the Gateway Music Festival in Bengough next weekend. That's the 25th to the 27th on the CJME Morning Show Facebook page. We're asking, what has been the best part of your summer so far? Getting dozens of comments, highlighting a couple for you. Larissa says, spending all the days watching our kids play baseball. It's one of the many answers. You can comment again on the CJME Morning Show Facebook page for your chance to win tickets, passes to the Gateway Music Festival again in Bengough next weekend. Speaking of baseball, did you watch the Home Run Derby last night? The Midsummer Classic happens tonight, the MLB All-Star Game. But of course, first, it's always the Home Run Derby. Everybody loves a good home run, and we had a lot of them last night. The current major league leader in home runs won the Derby. How fitting for Seattle Mariners catcher Cal Raleigh.
This is such an incredible year and first half that Raleigh had. He's got more homers at the first half than he's had in any regular season. And he's got his entire family. I mean, a special part of this night. That's his dad and that's his younger brother who's catching, surrounded by love and support.
What a great picture right now. This is a good family picture.
Cal crushes another.
Coming off hot, too.
Way back on the first two. Three in a row.
You can hear his brother. His brother's yelling, oh, yeah.
Woo! Monster moonshot. He got one more.
Hey!
And he goes deep to center. Come on! Cal Raleigh, 18 balls. The Dominican dominance comes to an end. The Big Dumper is your Home Run Derby champion for 2025.
Cal Raleigh, the Home Run Derby champion. You did it with your father throwing to you. You did it with your brother behind the plate. What does this mean to you?
It means the world, you know. I could hit zero home runs and I would have had just as much fun. So I just can't believe we won. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, really a Raleigh family affair. A Cal didn't get out of the first round, almost didn't get out of the first round. The top four advanced. Raleigh and Athletic Brent Rooker were tied for that final spot, each hitting 17 home runs. And then they go by who hit the longest home run. Raleigh beat Rooker out by about an inch. An inch! The win for Raleigh comes with $1 million. That close to missing out. Raleigh's the first catcher to ever win the Derby. Just the second Mariner, along with Ken Griffey Jr.
Wow. It's like there's a party in my mouth and everyone's invited.
Yeah, he won the Derby three times during his career. Tonight, of course, it is the MLB All-Star Game. Blue Jays' Vladimir Guerrero Jr. will start at first base for the American League. Toronto catcher as well, Alejandro Kirk, is also on the roster, but not as a starter, as a reserve player.